Hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and we are recording this for the Ultimate Homeschool Teen Expo. And today with me on the line is Jan May. Welcome, Jan.
Hi, Felice. It's great to be here today.
Well, I'm excited to have you and introduce you to my audience, Jan. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a creative writing teacher for about 10 years now. A homeschool veteran of 15 years, author of the New Millennium Girl curriculum, and pastor's wife.
Wonderful. And you have a website, newmillenniumgirlbooks.com. And so tell us, what are the Millennium Girl books?
Well, the New Millennium Girl books are focused on the New Millennium Girls of this generation, girls who have faith in God with a strong spirit, so they're different. They're not girls of this world, but they're girls who love God with all their hearts. They face real problems, but God solves them with them.
Wonderful. So it really is a wonderful, you know, premise, I think, especially for parents who want their kids to read some good books.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very difficult to find now. I go to the bookstore a lot with my children, and we normally leave empty-handed, so it's difficult to find good books. So I'm excited to have you on today. And you are going to talk to us today about how to cultivate your young writer. And I'm
yes.
going to sit back and listen, and then I'll be back at the end.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, let me begin with one of my favorite stories about Harriet Beecher Stowe. She was the minister's daughter in the 1800s, and she wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, an intense and lively fictional story about the whole slavery. President Abraham Lincoln invited her to the White House, and on approaching the president, he said to her, "So this is the little lady who helped to start the war." What did he mean? Her book was so captivating and so widely read in her day that it helped sway the hearts of a nation. It pricked its social conscience to such a depth that it helped to rally our nation to abolish slavery. Wow, that's an amazing payoff for writing fiction, isn't it? We need writers in this generation. We need more C.S. Lewis's and J.R.R. Tolkien's to remind us of courage, loyalty, and the reward of godliness. And those little authors who are writing about kittens and puppies could be right there in your own home and someday rise up and write an amazing story for the kingdom of God. They may be sitting around your table or at their desks in your homeschool. In the great church reformer's words, one of my favorite quotes, Martin Luther said, "If you want to change the world, pick up your pen." Now that we're all inspired, let's look at some of the benefits of teaching creative writing in your homeschool. First of all, it can breathe new life into your language class by providing lively opportunities for language practice. Let's be honest, grammar can get boring and tedious. A switch to creative writing for a semester can freshen things up, even for high schoolers. You can even give high school credit for a semester in creative writing. This is very exciting for me. Your high school student can write a screenplay, a poem, a short story, a novel, or a novella. They can do literary analysis of their favorite books. They can read publishing magazines like The Writer or The Writer's Digest and hear how other writers are doing it. Another of my favorites is that they can self-publish their writing in print online for free on Lulu.com, or they can publish ebooks on Amazon Kindle and make money. Since April of 2011, Amazon's ebook sales now outnumber their print sales. Amazing doors of opportunities for authors are out there, and that includes your students as well. If you sign up for our newsletter later, we're going to send out a list of the writing opportunities for teens. Let's talk about using a simple unit approach to creative writing. That will add a lot of colorful things to your school day. Most educational experts will agree that by giving your students visual, auditory, and hands-on learning opportunities, the information that they learn will stick with them for a long time. You can use whatever you're studying in history as a springboard. your young writers could become Davy Crockett settling the Wild West, Florence Nightingale nursing wounded soldiers, or even a spy in the Revolutionary War. One thing to remember is that creative writing is far more than your child making up stories. It offers a multitude of educational opportunities that build skills your children will use all along the way in their lives. What are some of these skills? First of all, it teaches strategic thought and problem solving through learning how to write a plot. Creative writing also teaches characterization, which produces empathy and self-expression. It teaches close observation through learning sensory writing by adding smells, tastes, sights, sounds, textures to their writing. This will also help them in science class. Creative writing teaches sentence structure and format in a fun way. It teaches how to unleash creativity, how to think outside the box, invent, and practice imagination. After all, our Heavenly Father is the greatest creator. So we are, in essence, unleashing God-like qualities in our children. Creative writing also helps the child to succeed and grow in confidence in who they are. They may not feel brave enough to tackle a new skill or process a current life experience, but through speaking through the eyes of the characters they write about, they can. Creative writing helps spice up nonfiction writing as well. After teaching my son creative writing for years, he tested right into college English at 15 years old. My daughter also had her college writing teachers constantly tell her that they loved her writing style. It was not boring or stuffy or dry, but alive. In fact, Americans are writing more and more than ever now thanks to the abundance of emails, blogs, Facebook, texting, and the internet highway. I have so many parents ask me, at what age do or should you a child begin to write creatively? And how do you know if they are a target at each age? Good question. My answer is kids should start writing creatively as soon as they can. Kids can make up stories and dictate them for you to write down as early as 4 and 5 years old. When they're old enough to put down sentences together by 7 or 8, they can put simple stories together, perhaps 3 to 5 sentences long. Some children can write a whole paragraph with your guidance by that age. And if your child is really gifted, they are writing pages and pages, but that's not the norm. By 9, they can write several paragraphs and even pages according to the child's ability. By 12, again, the number of pages they can write multiplies. I have some kids in my class writing 3 pages while others are writing 25-page novels. But my caution is wait until they're ready to go that far. I like the old adage, inch by inch, it's a cinch. Creative writing is progressive. Don't compare them with that statistic. They will shy away. It's too big of a leap in one time. In my experience, kids can start at writing 1 or 2 sentences, and with some prompting and priming of the creative pump, they can write a whole short story and beg for more by the end of the semester. Truly. Truly. Let's look at some tips that will help you as a teacher to succeed. Start out slowly introducing them little at a time from 8 years old and up until they master them. This might mean introducing 1 or 2 new concepts a semester, letting them progress in a few years. If the student is older, you could introduce more. Let the student's interest dictate how much more that they can absorb. Number 1. Don't make creative writing lesson a lesson in grammar or spelling. This is paramount. Before you turn this off, hear me out. Children will feel stifled if they have to stop and sound out every word and fear that you will mark it all wrong. Creative writing is a lesson in creativity. If the critical voice becomes too strong and noisy, it'll drown out the creative voice and they will stop wanting to write and they might even resist you. So as their spelling improves during spelling class and grammar improves in language class, it will also improve in writing. It will trickle down, I promise. As a child gets older, perhaps 7th, 8th grade, you can introduce more language skills, but do it gently. Number 2. Whatever they write, praise, praise, praise. I cannot emphasize this enough. You may wince on the inside over the spelling or neatness, but don't let on. They may feel good even getting one sentence out in the beginning. So water your little plants with encouragement and watch them grow, grow, grow. Number 3. Let them write about what they love. Wacky plots, oddball characters, made-up fantasy worlds and all. Many times a child is processing what they're learning about in life. They're dreaming and daring. Their characters can overcome their fears. And in overcoming the fears of the characters, they're gaining courage for themselves as well. Number 4, keep some tools handy that'll help you succeed and be creative. I love finding fun and inexpensive creative writing curriculum that can help you step by step. Look for something that is easy to use and will help your child stir up ideas. Usually these are supplemental. Next, give them fun and colorful notebooks to use for class. Maybe they can decorate them. Give them special stickers to use. Keep colored gel pens and fun markers to use to color and draw with. Encourage them to draw pictures as they go along. Be creative with putting it all together as a book. Have the kids illustrate or make their stories into a comic. Visit my Pinterest page and you can make up pop-up books, accordion books, posters, shoebox theaters. There's a lot of ideas on there. They're endless. What about making a special place to write? Maybe they can make a tent or have a reading and writing nook they help decorate. Make it a pleasant place for them to visit. Number 5, this is one of my favorites. Give them a reason to write. More than mom is going to grade this at the end of the week. Kids love to share their writing. Here are 5 motivational ideas. One of my favorite things to do is to start a Friday night flashlight theater. Invite grandma and grandpa, neighbors, friends, or family over to listen to the next adventure or chapter your child has written. Turn off the lights and shine several flashlights on the reader. Pop popcorn or serve a favorite homemade dessert that students will help make. Let your child read their stories for all to hear. Soon they'll be writing more and more, and other children may want to join in as well. Next, another favorite of mine to motivate kids to write is by starting a writing club that meets once a week. I know you're saying, I don't have time, but remember, you're not grading for spelling and grammar. Kids love to get together and brainstorm ideas, and they love to read their stories to each other. You can use a seasonal theme and make crafts if you're artistic. This is the one that I loved. I'm Miss Artistic. They can role play someone's story. This was always a great way for my daughter to make some close friends. It was like a built-in playdate for her. By making it a writing club versus a writing class, there was less pressure for me as a parent to perform as a teacher and let the kids be creative. By the end of the class, they were all hooked, and all the kids were writing pages. And if your child is good at it, help them to publish their stories, either online or with a magazine. It's wonderful to a child to see their name in print. There are several places who take children's stories and even pay for them. Star Songs magazine is a Christian-based magazine written by kids for kids. Children from 9 to 19 years old are being published in this magazine. And the good part is that they get paid for it. It's not a lot, but they do get paid. Teens for Kids Devotionals is also a magazine that will take teen writers, and they'll also pay for them. Another idea is to let them journal as a fictitious character. So many moms come up to me and say, I can't get my child to journal. I set a clean white page in front of them, and they just stare at me blankly, like they don't have a clue in the world. Well, that's because they don't. Kids need to prime the pump of creativity. Let them check out books at the library of some of their favorite things. This is great food for thought and a springboard of ideas to write from. Have them journal as the fictitious character, maybe someone they admire or someone they want to be when they grow up. They can journal about what that character is doing each day. Maybe start out and have them journal every day for 1 week. If they really get into it, let them go as long as they're excited about it. This is homeschool, after all. Maybe they're a zookeeper if they love animals. Maybe they're an astronaut or an athlete. Maybe they're a fantasy character. One of my favorites, the spy in the Revolutionary War. This is a great way to add history in as well. Number 6. Never underestimate the creative power of brainstorming. I always brainstorm with students before we even start. Talking things out helps to form ideas in their minds. Hearing your ideas, the ideas of others, causes a snowball effect. It's like opening a fountain. Ideas will flow like a river once they pick up their pens. I always have parents come up to me after their child has been in my class and say, "My child's writing at all hours of the day and night since they've been in your class. I can't stop them. It's like a dam has been released." And one reason for that is that we brainstorm together. Number 7, capitalize on holiday themes. Thanksgiving is a great time to write and learn about Native American Indians and pilgrims. They can make up a character who was actually there at the first Thanksgiving. A more advanced student can write from the perspective of an inanimate object. I was the pin that signed the Magna Carta, or Martha's apron that she wore to cook the first Thanksgiving dinner. Then tell that story from that perspective. You can make Thanksgiving placemats that have a little short story of thankfulness written on them. Use extra large yellow or green construction paper. It works perfectly. Then laminate it if you get industrious and make an extra one for grandma. Christmas is also a great time to write about love and sacrifice. Have children interview several people about a time when they learned the true story of the holiday. Let them write a fictional story about it using some of the ideas. You could make a cover by cutting up old Christmas cards, gluing them to the front. Print several copies and give them as gifts. Children love that, and the grandparents go nuts. Lastly, you could write your own fable, or you could retell an old one in contemporary style. Kids really like this. You could make it into a pop-up book or comic. Number 8. Help them write different genres. Write historical fiction about a person they're studying in history. So much is left out in biographical stories of great historical figures. Ask the children, wouldn't it be cool if Paul Revere gave riding lessons or owned a horse farm? What if Benjamin Franklin stumbled upon a time machine and had adventures in the future? Use all the historical props of the period in your story that you can, by mentioning quill pens, white powdered wigs, or muskets if you're studying the Revolutionary War. If it's the Civil War time, include women's hoop skirts or the abolition of slavery and how it affected your character. Number 9. Write science fiction or fantasy. This is one of my favorites. Look at the Chronicles of Narnia, Edmund, Lucy, Susan, and Peter. They slip through a portal into another world filled with mythical beasts and dangerous tea parties. Or, what scientific topics are your students studying in right now? Can they invent a world where you can fly? What if everyone here can hear each other's thoughts? Or, what if someone invented a super brain pill? Science fiction is a great way to unleash creativity for a story and get your children interested in creative writing. This is a place for brainstorming, because each new idea produces more new ideas. For more inspiration, check out library books on the newest inventions. One of the great authors that I was reading recently said, never take the first idea. So you always know that by brainstorming, you can come up with so many new and awesome ideas. Number 10, use a mystery themed story. This will entice your young writers. Create a sleuth character and crimes they must solve. Perhaps they must attend sleuth school in an interesting place. Does your child like to make up riddles? Let the child's imagination run wild. Soon they'll be writing pages and pages. Number 11. Analyze a literary work together that they love. Help them pick out the parts of the story. I stress story that they love. A lot of us are gung-ho about the stories we love as children, but they may not be the stories that our children love. You want to capitalize on their interest. So who is the protagonist or the good guy and the main character? Who is the antagonist, the bad guy, or the thing he must fight against? In Moby Dick, the whale is the antagonist. Theme. What is the main theme about? How does the character try to solve the great dramatic question? This is the big question that arises from the story problem. Will Lucy and Edmund get back to England? Will they help Prince Caspian rescue the lost people? And will Edmund ever turn back into a boy? Help them to identify, what is the great dramatic question? Are there subplots? Are there smaller themes inside of the bigger theme? And which characters are round and which ones are flat? Round ones are known by the importance they play in the story. There is a lot of details about these characters. On the other hand, a flat character only shows up once in a while, and little is known about them. They are important, however, because they help to support the story. So you need both round and flat characters. Number 12. If you have a reluctant writer, have them start by writing fan fiction. Fan fiction is a great genre. They can write the next chapter in their favorite story or the sequel to their favorite movie. They can use all the favorite characters by putting in their own spin. This is hugely popular, and there's lots of websites dedicated to this kind of fan fiction, and it's great practice. 13. Teach your students the golden rule of writing, show, don't tell. C.S. Lewis said, don't tell me your character is afraid, but show me by describing it in such a way that the very hairs on my head stand up when I read it. Sounds like something you want to read? Well, which sentence sounds better to you? Number one, Trevor walked into the dark forest and felt afraid. I'm telling you that Trevor is afraid here. Or sentence number two, when Trevor walked into the dark forest, his heart started beating like a drum. His palms were sweaty. He heard a noise and screamed. The last sentence described Trevor's body language in showing me that he is afraid. It makes the reader feel like he is participating in the story. It draws them in, and it's much more effective. 14. Encourage your students to use vivid verbs for tight and terrific writing. A thesaurus is a great tool here. Instead of using the word run in your story, use dashed, rushed, hopped, or zipped. Instead of saying she worked slowly at her homework, you can say she dawdled. Instead of saying he walked slowly, you can say he trudged along. Too many adverbs, or ly verbs, as some call them, can slow down a story when you could use one powerful verb that says it all. These words are more precise and give us a better word picture in our minds of what is going on in the story. Here are some examples of a few strong verbs. Blast, bolt, bounce, charge, chase, chatter, collide, conceal, dash, demolish. Well, you get the idea. Number 15. Teach your children the five elements of a story. There's actually a formula for teaching students to write a good story. Number one, develop characters. Number two, develop a plot. Number three, develop a setting. Number four, teach them point of view. And number five, teach them theme. Let's go back to number one, developing characters. Developing characters can be a lot of fun by making a list of all their physical, emotional qualities, their likes and dislikes, and what is there in the refrigerator? I thought this was kind of a funny one that my college professor asked. What is in your character's refrigerator? Do they drink soy milk or do they eat ho-hos? Do they have hobbies? Do they play sports? Are they a brainiac? Do they have pets? What are their dreams? How about their fears? And what are their weaknesses? Every character must have a weakness, or they're not real. The answer to all these questions will help to develop a strong character. Number two, develop a plot. Develop a plot by giving the characters a conflict to overcome. But never let the character reach his goal right away. I like to use the three strikes and you're out method. The character tries to fail twice. He tries and he fails twice, and on the third time, he succeeds. Each time he tries, anticipation builds like going up, up, up on a roller coaster. This keeps the reader interested until the very end to find out, is he going to solve the problem? You can also have your students answer the five W's. This will help the plot to develop for them. Who, what, where, when, and why? Number three, develop a setting. Help your students develop a setting by using the five senses. A setting is the place and time in history where your story happens. What does a place look like, smell like, taste like, sound like, and feel like? Use vivid words and colors. For example, the dark emerald forest was cold and smelled of musty tree roots. Using sensory language helps your story come alive. I like to use the list method. It's a lot of fun by having your children make a list for each of the five senses that they want to use in their story. You can play a game and set the timer for, say, a minute or two and see who can come up with the most ideas for each of the five senses. I start with perhaps sights, and then they list all those, and then smells, and then they list all those. And each time I'll stop and we'll count them up and see who came up with the most. And then kids are also getting ideas from other kids. So if you have more than one child in your class, then you can do this together. Number four, point of view. Sometimes point of view can be a little tricky. So my rule of thumb is to teach them how to write from one point of view. Learning to write from one character's point of view instead of a universal point of view helps your writing to be fresh and focused. And most publishers want that today. Tell them your character's eyes is like a camera. If the camera can see it, then your character can see it too. But if he can't, then your character can't either. For instance, if you switch your story to another room and something is happening in the other room where your character is not there and they cannot see or hear it, then there's no way your character could write this through his point of view. I wouldn't introduce point of view concept until around 11 or maybe 12 years of age. Again, be gentle, and if they don't get it right away, back off a little bit, reintroduce it later, and see how they pick it up. But by high school, children should be able to get this pretty well. And the last one is theme. What is the main theme that is woven throughout the story? You can help children to develop one of those. After you teach them the five elements of the story, you can teach them how to write them in three distinct parts. This will help them to stay on track. It's so simple that you're going to laugh. Are you ready? Every story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Yep, that's it. Everything should always start with a hook. That is starting off right in the middle of action. It's going to draw the reader right in. You could write, Ruby woke up and yawned. It was a bright and sunny day. She combed her hair and put on her slippers. Then she walked down the hall for breakfast. Are you, as the audience, asleep yet? I am. Let's change this up a little and start with some action and see if it makes a difference. Ruby woke up to a loud bang that sounded like a dozen firecrackers exploding in the sky. She rushed to the window to find that a bulldozer was tearing down, dot, dot, dot. You fill in the blank. I think you get the idea. For ideas on writing a good hook, pull out some of your students' favorite books and read the first paragraphs of the book. This will give them an idea of what a good hook is. One of my favorite authors for mid-grade and teens is Rick Riordan's books on the lost hero. Wow, talk about fantastic first sentences. Read some of his books on those first sentences, and you're going to understand that hooks really make a difference. The beginning of the story also introduces the main character and the story problem. You could do this in as little as 3 to 5 sentences. For older children, they could draw it out into several paragraphs or a first whole page. The middle of the story is where the plot is developed. I like to use the three strikes and you're out method. The character tries two times to solve the problem and fails on the third try. Then he succeeds. Other supporting characters can be introduced in the middle of the story as well, but keep them limited to four or five, because any more than that and the story gets muddled up and confused. The end is where everything comes to a climax and your character solves the problem and you close the story. Some children in my classes have a light bulb actually go off in their head on this point. They actually don't know that they must actually end the story. Writing doesn't have to be a chore. By downloading the handouts that go along with this tape and by using these tips, I think you'll have your child writing in no time. Well, Felice, I think that ends my workshop.
Hey, Jan. Well, that was wonderful. I really want to thank you for sharing with our listeners. I think that's it's a great series of tools that you've given them with writing tips to get them going.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Inch by inch, just a cinch.
Yeah, just get started. It's that first step, right?
It's that first step. If you put it, write it down in little segments, then say, write three sentences about this, the beginning, three sentences in the middle, and three in the end, then it's not so daunting.
That's right. Well, you can find more information about Jan and her books at newmillenniumgirlbooks.com. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.